Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon or morning, whatever the heck it is.
Patrick Manley.
Patrick has some great hair. His hair was sweet, man.
He was a bear for a really, really long time.
Three things you got to do. You got to snap, protect, and cover. I feel like I can do all three pretty well.
Score Bears pregame host.
Coaches say you got to go find a butt. You run off a butt. You run off, you know, your jersey's butt.
252 games, zero solo tackles, but all of your hearts.
The level of leadership that he brought in the sense of camaraderie and teammateship.
Patrick Manley with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West champs head to the Holiday Bowl in San Diego on December 31st. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Patrick Manley is brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. He joins us on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the sauce. Patrick, how are you?
I'm good. What's up, fellas?
Well, the Packers are up, and we've got a game in the books, but I don't know that this – I think this Bears defense might have figured some things out between then and now that could inform their game planning. What do you see?
I definitely think that, but the Packers still scare me just with the way they run their quick game and how accurate Aaron Rodgers is. That's the one thing that's obviously he's one of the best in the business, but that's what scares me. They run it really, really well, and they got back to that last week against Arizona with Joe Philbin with those calls. If you look at, I think, the first five passing plays, he gets the ball out less than 2 seconds. And that continued throughout the game until they got their big lead, and then they started running some traditional offense. But that's what scares me. The corners have got to play press coverage. Sherrick McManus has got to step up for Bryce and play press coverage. And the other thing is they have to take chances. There were a couple throws last week against the Falcons that should have been picked off that hit the guys right in the chest because they took chances, because they broke on routes knowing that they were trying to throw it quick. And if they can do that, I think we'll see a good game for the Bears. But again, like I said, Aaron Rodgers just scares me with how well he can execute that quick game.
Scares me too. As long as he's breathing, he's scary. I right. wonder, Patrick, to counter the quick game, we've seen a couple of different things from Vic Fangio. Some of that was against the Rams in dropping Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd into coverage as often as he did. Some of that was because Bryce Callahan got hurt. Is that a solution, a potential solution to Rodgers moving the ball around as quickly as he did last week against the Falcons? Or do you figure the scheme changes some with Callahan out for sure?
No, I don't think they need to do that this week. I think they did that a lot last week because they were running that that concept I told you about, the play action concept, where they dropped Todd Gurley into the flat, and that's where you had Mack and Leonard Floyd covering him to take that check down away. You don't see that a whole lot from the Packers. They'll run a little bit of a similar thing, but it's not as much. But I think the key is just playing tight coverage, playing press coverage all across the board and taking your chances, and then making sure that, you know, when Davante Adams does go deep or tries to beat you, on the quick deep throw, which he's really good at as well, you've got to be there for that. The corner's got a big game. They've got to step up and play tight coverage. And the right side of the Packers line is broken. They got McCray and Spriggs in there, and they've got to take advantage of that. And I think that's something that you just bring a whole lot of pressure off that right side and try to get there as quick as possible to disrupt that a little bit.
I asked earlier in the week when we were talking with Hub, I think, about whether or not Eddie Jackson could be used in a different way. He had responsibilities added, coverage kind of rolled to him some, or changed his responsibilities a little bit. He mentioned yesterday that they've got some things they might be able to do with him in that vein. What would those things be, perhaps?
That's a good. Are you talking just in coverage? What could he do in coverage?
Yeah, with Callahan out and looking to make up for some of that.
He's very good in coverage. Yeah, I wonder if they are going to use him maybe as a little bit more of a man-to-man cover guy, and then maybe keep Amos back there roaming the field. But that's not Amos's strength. So it's interesting to hear Hub say that, because I don't know what they would do exactly with him, because I think he's too valuable keeping him on the back end and letting him read the quarterback's eyes and react that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way I would play him. I think that's where he's the most valuable. But, yeah, I think he does have coverage skills. Maybe this week you see him covering Jimmy Graham one-on-one when they go to their four and five wide sets. Jimmy Graham's a wide receiver, basically. Maybe that's something you see with the using him in coverage and kind of letting Sherrick McManus cover somebody else and have him come down and cover Jimmy Graham.
What does Mitchell Trubisky have to do to reset his computer a little bit, to reboot?
I think calm down. I had Cody White here on the Chicago Huddle this week, and I asked him what was the cause of that. Kind of is he a guy that gets over, amps up and gets excited? He's like, yeah, he was extremely excited to get back out there and play. I think he'll calm down just, getting back out there and getting the speed of the game and understanding that he needs to calm down. I think he just gets amped up and through, those three interceptions were on target but long. You know what I mean? They were in line, but he just gets amped up and overthrew them. I think he just needs to calm down and get back to that game speed and trust his mechanics, and he'll be fine.
Okay, so if this is a stupid question, let's just chalk it up to never having started an NFL game, Pat.
There's no such thing, a stupid question.
I don't know. We could get real close
here. This one's stupid.
Yeah, he started 23 games in his career. He's mentioned before that he gets too amped up at times. I know he's returning, and it's the Rams, and shouldn't you find a way to get yourself ready for – like, you eat at certain times. You schedule certain things. You have your pregame routine. Where in a player's career do you learn that?
He calls himself a reps guy, but I do think – as the more games you play, you understand how to deal with the magnitude of each game. And, yeah, some games are bigger, and obviously that Rams game was huge for him. So I think that's the more times he goes through those situations, he'll understand how to deal with himself. And it's a simple answer. It's not a dumb question because it's a reps thing. It's understanding that each situation or each game, as you get into it and they get more magnified, or the bigger ones that you – they're not as magnified, if that makes sense, because you've been there before. You've done it before. You kind of bring yourself down to making it just another game and not getting overexcited.
It's funny because it's one thing for a quarterback, and being around the Bears teams I was around when the rules used to be different, when as a reporter you could be on the field before games a whole lot longer before they kicked you up to the press box. Watching the mental transformation of some NFL players from non-game mode to game mode, seeing some guys have to operate almost in a fugue state, almost as a different personality at an arousal level that is almost like some kind of animal. Other guys don't. Other guys can just go play and can get to top speed and can feel bulletproof. That mental. Those moments before the game of how everybody does it differently, I imagine it takes time to learn professionally how to get yourself where you need to be that way.
Oh, 100%. And it's interesting to watch from that last time you go on the field to the locker room, then go back in that 20 minutes or 15 minutes where you have the coach give the speech, to watch how different guys are getting ready. Some guys are, listening to music. Some guys are jumping around. Some guys' heads are down, staring at the ground, focusing. It is that you get into a completely different trance or state or whatever you want to call it. I remember my first year or two, my wife, after the game, about 30 minutes, would try to talk to me, 45 minutes, and I'm just was still in that game mode, and she's like, "What is wrong with you?" And I'm like, "Just give me 45 minutes, and I'll be back to being the guy that you married." Because you get into a different state because you are – I mean, you're running around the field with 300-pound dudes, and you've got to be, I had to be perfect or accurate every time, and it takes, and it is interesting to see how guys get into that mode, and then some guys I would be envious of that they didn't have to get there. They were always like that, they just, they could play having fun, joking, like Lance Briggs to me, I don't know how he did it. You need to ask him that question. That's a good one, because he seemed like he was always Lance all the time, always having fun, and always played at a high level, and I don't know how he did that.
I'll never forget when Brian Cox told the story of the kind of mental games he had to play, about how much rage he had to artificially create in himself. And he said he would have these horrible fantasy visions of people breaking into his home and murdering his family and burning his house. Yeah, no, he had to like the opening sequences of Gladiator. He had to do that to get himself to a place where he could unleash his fury on opponents. And I'm thinking, man, if you have to live in that headspace 16 times or more a year, that's got to take a toll on you.
No doubt about it. That is interesting. I would like to know what got everybody ticking or how they got to that point. That's a good question. I think that's a question you should ask all the guys you have on, because everybody was different. It would be neat to be able to read their minds for that 15 minutes before the game sitting in the locker room to know what's truly going on. I just know I went to a different, you know, I wasn't in a violent position or had to get into a violent position. I just knew I had to be perfect. So I went into kind of this state of just concentration that I don't even know if I can ever get there again. You know, it's something I don't want to get there again, because it's hard to do that for 16 times or 16 plus times a year.
So as you scout Green Bay, what do you make of the receivers core? I know Davante Adams is very, very good, but what's left of Randall Cobb, and how are some of those, two of those rookies?
Randall Cobb looks like he's healthy. He played a pretty good game against the Falcons last week. So he's just always been banged up. I think he's a guy that's toughed it out through a lot of injuries, and that's hurt his play. But the other guys aren't as talented, obviously, as Davante Adams. Davante Adams is amazing. I think he has 12 touchdowns this year. He's tied in the league, lead league with Antonio Brown, and he's making some grabs that are just unreal, you know, where Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball behind a guy's helmet, the only spot he can catch it, he's snagging it out of the air. But I think the other guys, the young guys, they're still learning how to play with Aaron Rodgers, with those throws that we see that are just magical, that are, you know, when a DB's turned backwards and he puts it right by their ear. They're still trying to understand how to run their proper, you know, the routes at the right depth to understand where Aaron wants the ball. But they're not at the talent level that Davante Adams is. They're getting better, but I don't think they're potential. I don't think they can get to the level that Davante Adams is. They don't shock you when you turn on the tape.
The Bears have unveiled a new sound effect to disrupt opponents. They've got the air raid siren, the bear raid siren, whatever you want to call it. You've been on the other end of it in any number of places, most notoriously the Metrodome with the Viking horn. Well, yeah, but does it get into the head of an opponent at all, or is it just annoying to everybody?
I don't think it gets in your head. It's just annoying. And then, yes, it can get into your head when they start winning, and you hear it over and over and over after touchdowns. So when we were playing Minnesota, when they were great in 99 with, 98-99, and when they were just putting up points, just putting up ungodly numbers, and you keep hearing that, it's ingraining into your head that they're having success. So that's how it gets annoying. So I don't know how they play it at Soldier Field. I didn't get to hear it at all on the TV copy. But it can be annoying when it's as a response to success. That's when you're like, oh, God, we're getting our butts kicked again.
Pat, when Matt Nagy was talking yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, he's got a quote about making things either black or white for Mitch as he gets to the line, as it pertains to zone coverages and reading what's going on. He said that it's on him, on the head coach, play caller, to get rid of the gray areas. Is that fair? Is he doing too much at that point? What quarterbacks, you know, are able to go to the line with just a binary choice up there in their offense?
Well, I think that's what makes Matt Nagy so great, and what makes these young, or these good offensive coordinators, Sean McVay, those guys that are taking these young quarterbacks and making them this good, because they do have a one or two read. They're not having to survey everything. They know what's going to happen before the game. It's been drilled in them. They know the route concepts that they need to get to overtake these defensive strategies. So I think it's a great thing for Matt Nagy. But one thing this week against the Green Bay Packers is Mike Pettine, their defensive coordinator, does a good job of trying to make it gray. So he's gonna try to confuse Mitch this week, and that's another thing I get worried about, that Mitch is young and still is trying to get to that point where it is black or white, where Mike Pettine is going to make it gray. He does a great job of rolling his coverages. He'll show zone, roll it down to man. He's going to bring a lot of slot blitzes, corner blitzes. So if Mitch's eyes are to the left and they're coming off the right, he's got to be able to somehow see that and understand what's happening. But I think that's what makes Matt Nagy great, is that he can do that so far. And you watch a lot of these games and he's doing that for Mitch. And Mitch gets in trouble when it is great for him. So we'll see if he can dissect this defense that Mike Pettine's going to throw at him.
Talking with Patrick Manning on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline, it's the sauce. Is just me, or does Pat O'Donnell look like he's really come to an effective place with his game lately?
100%. The biggest difference is, Dan, that Tabor is letting him punt. And what I mean by that is, before, Jeff Rodgers just wanted him to kick that flip-flop kick, that end-over-end kick, and what that would do is just negate the return. So he would hit it 42 yards with a hang where the returner's back there waving his arm and fair catching the ball. But now Chris Tabor's letting him angle the ball, let him kick deeper kicks, let him kick a normal punt. And I think that's building his confidence. He's a very talented kid. He's tall and long, so he's a little bit slow getting the ball out, which makes all coaches nervous because they're worried about a block. But he is punting great. He's allowed to kind of punt to his potential, and it's good to see.
How about the other side of the Bears special teams as far as a returner? You got a preference of anybody you'd seen so far this year or not so much?
I want to see Kevin White. I do. I'm telling you. I told Chris Tabor this. I said, why not Kevin White? He's a first-round pick, so he has the talent. He has athletic ability. He has speed. Cordarrelle Patterson is the same size as him, and he did a great job in Minnesota and has obviously figured it out with the Patriots, but why not? Everybody else back there has not succeeded. Give him a chance. You're paying him. Before you send him out the door, give him a chance to see if he can figure it out. I would love to see him back there. The other guys, you know, they just haven't figured it out. Benny Cunningham doesn't have the speed to hit the home run, but I think Anthony Miller right now is the right choice, but I would love to see Kevin White back there.
Are we going to see the run everybody on, run everybody off play again and have the poor side judge get trampled?
You know what? I texted you about that, Dan. I think the reason why they ran that was trying to get the Rams to burn that third final timeout in the first half. You know, when you run out there, you have to give the defense the right to match the personnel. But if a coach panics and calls a timeout, good for you. And I think that's why they tried to do it. Everybody's saying, oh, it's dumb because they have the right to match. But if they call a timeout, then you succeeded. And that's all you're trying to do. And Bobby Massey should have been paying attention because that's something they obviously practiced all week and were trying to run, but it didn't work out for him.
We've talked a lot this week, Pat, about the arrows of the Bears, the respective arrows and Packers, that the Bears are on this trajectory upward. They're headed toward the playoff. They've got a young quarterback and a first-year head coach. The offense comes together. They're unstoppable. The Packers fired Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers is 35. The draft picks, some of them over the last few years, have been underproductive and somewhat questionable, and that they've had trouble signing free agents with a whole lot of impact. Do you think that the Packers arrow is trending down for the near future, for the next couple of years, or is there a rebound left in them? They make the right head coaching hire with Aaron Rodgers still left.
You just said it, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's trending down. Whenever you have that guy, it's not trending down because you've seen it. When he's not in the game and has been injured, they're terrible, sure. But when he's in there, he makes everybody better. And whoever you're going to put in as head coach, they're going to be fine. That's what scares me about this Packers team. I'm ready for him to retire and move on. They've been lucky to have Favre and Rodgers back-to-back, you know, decades here to be successful. But I don't see it trending down at all just because you have number 12. I think the only thing they can do is get better because their talent is not that good. So I don't see it trending down, and that's unfortunate.
Patrick, have fun at Joe's on Weed Street near Lincoln Park. Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley from 9 a.m. until kickoff. Then it's going to be Hub and Olin and Big Cat Williams after the game. Over 120 TVs. It's a place to be. I know you've been there before. Fun place. Joe's on Weed Street. We'll be listening. Enjoy.
All right. See you guys.
That is Patrick Manley, the former Bears long snapper. This might just be a piece of paper. However, it represents a giant box of meat.
So much more.
So when we come back, you could be the winner of an Omaha Steaks family gift package. Keep it here. You've got Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter as they host Oklahoma, Indiana, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Your holidays will be even better if you are caller number
4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
312-591-6700, because then you will be the winner of an Omaha Steaks family gift package. And even if you don't win, you can still buy this great package at the great price by going to omahasteaks.com and entering the code WSCR.
I love Patrick Manley. Who do you like at a returner? Let's see Kevin White.
Yeah, I didn't know Kevin White could return. return?
I don't know whether he can either. I don't think the Bears know whether he can either. But they've run everybody else out there. He did in college some. Yeah, you're right. But that was a dude. I mean, that was a West Virginia team that's just running all over the place. I don't know. The return game hasn't done much of
anything.
And with Tariq Cohen, the dude, I mean, he's your feature back as much as Jordan Howard got his 101 yards against the Rams. That's great. But Tariq Cohen is the guy through which the scheme runs, you know, the non-quarterback guy through which the scheme runs. That's how you get your mismatches. That's how you line guys up. You try and find linebackers for him to run up against. That's how it works. I don't want to tax him with a whole bunch of punt return work because of how important he is to that offense, especially if Mitch is going to have a night like he had against the Rams with the antsiness and the can't settle yourself down stuff.
I would expect that would be under a little bit more control, perhaps. I would expect that there with everybody, it takes a village to calm down Mitchell Trubisky, I think. But he's an excitable type. That gets back to the Favre comp, doesn't it? Don't you remember the number of times on the very first drive of a game when Favre would just be firing passes over people's heads and all jacked up? And probably because he's hepped up on goofballs before the game.
Probably for about the two-thirds of his career,
although
fired up on stuff.
No, but it was opiates. It was painkillers. That brings you down. Opiates are a depressant.
Yeah. Well, once you take those, you got to take something to fire to get yourself back up, don't you?
I don't know.
I feel like
I would just go if one had already been entered into the record.
You
I mean,
can't play through the cloud.
No, I remember the game where he's not playing.
Oh, he's playing.
Oh, look, now is he playing? He's sprinting out, and poor TJ Rubley is being told to go sit down.
Commissioner,
now.
Is this a problem? No, it's not.
Nope.
Sit down.
He's fine. He's going to play. Yeah,
Brett Favre, you have a damn well wants.
And Jay, are people still calling the regular line? Is this?
They are. Jay took the actual calls on the contest line, and I took the ones on the regular line.
Is that how that works? So you take the unfortunate poor souls that have called the wrong number?
Yeah, they're like, am I caller 4? And I'm like, not to the contest line.
And they still don't quite get it.
I tell them, you say the number every time. Now, if they call up and they realize when they hear my voice that they've said it wrong and they ask what the number is, then I'll give it to them and I'll be nice because they realize that they're dumb. But otherwise, I just dismiss them out of hand.
Rick loves answering it. I just don't answer those because I know what they are.
Do we figure that people have the number saved? Like it's score in the phone and you just hit score?
That's what I did as a listener. Before I started working here, when I could actually win things,
right.
I'd have that... like score. AAA score hotline, so it was right at the top of the contact list.
Game of the system.
What did you win before you started working here?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, but then after you're working here is when you won the Real Urban Barbecue.
That's commitment.
Right. But that was, and you were eligible
for that.
That's
for a year for life.
That was for a year. That was sit outside, our first person to sit outside the place on the day it opened got barbecue for a year. So I was like, well, on my way to my other job at the time, I'll stop by, and if there's nobody there, I got clearance from the other job to be late to get free barbecue. So nobody was there, so I sat down, and I parked my ass out there for like 3.5 hours and about freezing weather, and I was set. I had a Sudoku book, I had a regular book, and I was good to go.
He's lying. He was there when the foundation was laid.
Like, cementing poured.
This might be a barbecue place. Let me get my tent.
Right. He did it on spec. Right. It was before Real Urban even purchased it. Right. So he saw a hole in the ground, and based on his instinct that it might eventually be a barbecue place.
What's
were getting annoyed enough they wanted me to be part of the foundation.
What's the worst that happens? It's a Whole Foods? Like, that's, I'll buy some kale.
Ah, close enough.
I'll get something I can fry in there. It's
close
fine.
Enough. I'll go get some cooked bacon. For $1.14, right?
I don't think I've ever sat, because you went to Duke, so I assumed
yes.
there was the camp out there where you were waiting for tickets, or students waited for tickets. Season day, that wasn't happening then.
There was that.
I'm not saying
there.
You did it. Yeah, I didn't do it either. At the Kohl Center, they would tents and things.
Yeah, Krzyzewskiville is what they call it. But that's why, as a freshman, you realize, if I work for the student station, I get a press pass.
Well, not everyone had that kind of skill or knowledge or was sober enough to make those decisions in college.
Oh, you don't have to be. I can speak from experience that you could be high as a kite and still get the press pass.
We had a
not
guy,
on game day, of course, but when you're sending in your little application.
We had a reporter for the paper who decided to... And granted, it's college newspaper coverage, so the standards aren't that high. But we, on a Wisconsin hockey game that was being played the night before Halloween, and Halloween's a big deal at Wisconsin in Madison, he shows up and has a puck embedded in his forehead, like he's a zombie killed by a hockey puck. But he's also the reporter for the game. So he's in the post-game press conference asking Mike Eaves questions with a puck in his forehead.
Yeah.
And we were called by the Wisconsin, like, this can't happen. The SID's all called. Like, this is too much. Your guy's being an idiot. Come get him.
Good for them.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad they policed it to that extent.
He was summarily fired.
Oh,
we let him go. As a free employee, we let him go.
Wow. You guys are rough. Alex is in Highwood. Alex is on the score.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
I just wanted to call and let you know, I heard what Patrick Mattingly said and how worried he is about number 12 over in Green Bay. I just wanted to let you guys know, like, we shouldn't have to worry about him anymore. Yeah, he's a great quarterback, and he's beat the Bears a lot, but this is a whole new team, and I know that Akeem Hicks is going to be coming for him, and he's probably going to spend a lot of time on his back, hopefully, and then when the Bears just go and just destroy the Packers and just basically just silence all the doubters again and just be like, you know what, fine. Because, like, every week it seems like, oh, this team, they got to watch out for that, or this team, they got to watch out for that. And then look what we did to the Rams. Yeah, we didn't play great offensively, but our defense took care of everything. But I just want to let you guys know that. Not to worry, and go Bears.
Thanks, Alex.
Go Bears. Bears!
Go Bears, indeed. You had four takeaways against the Rams.
Yep.
You had four takeaways against the Rams. Where is your offensive output? Where is your point total, if not for those four takeaways? And where are two takeaways against the Green Bay Packers? I'm not saying they're a better – the NFC North is going to be won by the Bears. They are the best team in this division, and it's getting farther and farther away, right? I mean, they're pulling farther and farther away from where everybody else is. I still can't rule out Green Bay in this game. He's Aaron Rodgers. That offense moves the ball quickly, and he doesn't throw interceptions.
No, he's not at the peak of his powers, but even whatever he is now, he's still really good. I didn't think I'd see this particular text as we're talking about some of the accuracy problems of Mitchell Trubisky. The 630 notes, Trubisky's problem is not because he's too jacked up. He's as inaccurate at the ends of games. It's because he has beady eyes. Uh-huh. It means he has no depth perception.
It's like the Colonel with his wee beady eye.
His wee beady eye.
And that smug look on his face.
What?
I don't know. Are we entering the Jay Cutler night game territory here?
Yes, this is the Jay Cutler. He's because of diabetes, he can't see at night thing. I don't think the actual physical nature or the appearance of his eyes has anything to do with depth perception.
Probably not. Probably not.
Right? I think that has to do with your actual vision, not the appearance of your eyes.
I think so. I don't know. I'm not an eye doctor. I'm not an ophthalmologist.
I know several ophthalmologists. I can call any one of them.
Let's do
Would
that.
Would you like me to say, I'm sorry, you're too beady-eyed to be quarterback. It sounds like something they'd say like the 60s. Like the guys in the room at the beginning of Moneyball. I don't know. He's got his girlfriend's a six. It means he lacks confidence.
Not hiring
Sage Rosenfels. Nice big eyes. He can see.
Right. He can see. Good Clearly. Stature. Very, very, very good eyes. In Park Ridge, Ryan, you're on the score.
Yeah. My question for you guys is, I know Kyle Long got the boot off lately and the walking boot. He's eligible to come off week 17. Is there a scenario where he just comes back and goes right into a starting position again? Or is this something where they've been playing well the last few weeks and I don't miss his personal foul penalties. He's constantly getting them, and I realize they're still doing a good job without having that. What do you think about Kyle Long for the playoffs?
Ryan, I would imagine that they want him back if he's able to get back. They played a great game. The offensive line played a really good game against the Rams. They were able to keep Aaron Donald virtually off the stat sheet. Brian Witzman handled him one-on-one. I saw at least two instances of that, but you look at the game against the Giants where Witzman's doing anything but that. You look at the game prior with some offensive line issues. You want depth there. And if you can return Kyle Long to any kind of form that he had this season, I think you do it. you're just going to have to be cautious about it. I mean, I don't know what's left in that ankle.
I also want to know what he weighs, because he's had a difficult time keeping game weight on through injuries, because it's hard sometimes for the guys who have a playing weight, was he 308 or whatever it is.
Something like that.
Supposed to stay around there, and it takes a lot of work to keep good weight on as you're working your way back. We're the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We're going to do transition after the top of the hour, but coming up next, your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on June 14th. Do not call now. I know you're already calling now, but do not call now. Call when I give you the cue to call, and maybe you will have a summertime party at Wrigley Field with the remaining extant members of the Grateful Dead.
And John Mayer.
And John Mayer. Because the actual dead are not going to be there.
No.
In spirit.
But John Mayer's very good, and he'll cover everything.
John Mayer is very good at guitar.
That much is true.
It is
a known quantity.
Undoubtable. You have the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Where are my background singers? Woo!
They eventually showed up. Patti LaBelle got her background singers.
Cue cards did not.
She kept asking. Just give her damn cue cards and get her the backup singer, she promised. She doesn't know the words. Tell her who the soloist is.
Sergeant Major Rick, somebody's going to play a solo for you. Attack!
Yep. I got to know his name, honey. All right. It's your time.
Yeah, it is.
You're on.
Eight.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Nailed it. I always guess the right number.
Amazing.
Every time I guess a number, incredible. I get it right. Francesa always does that. Unbelievable.
Uncanny. Caller 8 to the contest line. 312-591-6700 wins a pair of tickets to see Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on June 14th.
So while the context around the Bears and Packers has certainly changed from years past, and I love Matt Nagy saying that he's not concerned about what happened in years past. He's turning the page. He's moving forward. He's got the team and the offense and the quarterback to do it. I do think some of the same questions about his offense exist, but with a different context. I keep on thinking back to the Rams, the fourth quarter against the Rams. The fact that you've got a draw play to Cohen. The third quarter against the Rams when you've got a bunch of run plays. And now, in this last phase of the season, is Matt Nagy willing to, is he seeing the strategic advantage in handing the ball off a few more times? I'm not asking for this to be a run-first offense. I'm not asking for it to become something it's not. But there are, and we've talked about this for weeks now, there are runs in this offense, and he went to them against the Rams. There are weaknesses in this Packer defense. They set up to go nickel. They set up to go dime. They've drafted cornerbacks and safeties each year for the last 10, all of them in the first or second round. They've got dozens of these guys.
This might be one of those, then you just want to get out to a 17-6 lead and try to go run away and hide.
Well, but I think scoring points via the run game is possible, too. That's where the Packers have a weakness. I just, listen, as you work Mitch back into playing things, and once you salt away a playoff spot, whether it's this week against the Packers or not, the conversation is going to start about making sure your guys are good to go for the playoffs. I don't think Mitch is going to be one of those guys that gets any kind of rest. Maybe, I don't know, maybe week 17 or something like that. Maybe when in that last week. But, you know, whether that's Allen Robinson sitting with a groin slash hip or whatever he's got going on, if there are nicks and bruises around to other guys, I mean, you start to do that. It's pretty clear to me that after that Rams game, you still have to get your rep guy some reps. And the best way to keep things clean and the best way to keep things, you know, ahead of schedule, as in terms of chains, maybe that's doing more of the stuff you did in the fourth quarter, at least against this Packer team.
In Oak Park, here's Les on the score.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Les.
Last night on Bears All Access, Adrian Amos said, as a defensive back, if you think, you lose. Apparently it's a football aphorism, which I'd never heard before, but what he meant, and he went on to say, is that a defensive back has got to be able to see everything that's going on. He's got to read the quarterback's eyes, if he can, all the other defensive backs, the receivers, the tight end. He's got to be able to see everything at the same time. Now, I have called you guys maybe a month ago about this is Trubisky's failing. He lacks the ability to think to process information holistically. He doesn't see all the receivers at the same time. He doesn't see what's going on with the offensive line. He thinks linearly, and as Amos said, if you think, you lose. The good thing is you can learn to think this way. Michael Jordan referred to it as being in the zone.
No, that's not what in the zone is.
No, but, it is. It's right brain processing.
No, that's not what I believe
it's
me.
Right brain processing.
Now, Les, I spent enough time around Michael to know that's not what he meant by in the zone.
Well, I don't know what he meant, but it was clear that he was in the zone, and that's what the neurologists refer to as being in right brain thinking.
No, that's not the way Jordan used it.
Well, what I'm saying is that Trubisky currently lacks that ability.
I think you're diagnosing him just based on watching football games, and I think that's sort of a fool's errand. It's clear that he has to learn how to play NFL quarterback, and that just it comes with experience. I mean, whether or not your specific mumbo jumbo diagnosis applies here, I don't know. It just sounds like a lot of words. But quarterbacking is complicated, and Matt Nagy has talked at length and explicitly about what he's trying to do to make sure that, based on what they have planned and what he's seen in the past and what defenses are doing, that he knows where the football's supposed to go.
When he succeeds, when Mitch succeeds, Matt Nagy tells you about it. I mean, and he should. I don't mean that in a smug way. He should let you know. He calls those the pure progression plays, where he hits Allen Robinson as the third read on a play for a touchdown. It's not as though Mitch is incapable of making some of these plays and making some of these reads. He's clearly done it at points this season.
It also is linear. It really is. It is first you look here, then you look here, then you look here. You're not looking everywhere at once and trying to intuit where everything goes. There are actual places his eyes are supposed to be.
Yeah. Pre-snap, you're counting, right? You're splitting the field in half, counting your numbers on this side, counting your numbers on that side, depending on what kind of play you're running.
Yeah,
this isn't voodoo. You're looking for mismatches. You're looking for numbers advantages, and then you go ahead and diagnose and attack those.
Joliet, this is Zach. Zach's on the score.
Hi there. So Leonard Floyd has been looking a lot better lately.
Yeah, yes.
Danny Trevathan's having another really good year. Mac is a beast. And Rokon Smith is making huge plays. So my question to you is, does any team have better linebackers than the Bears? And if so, who?
I don't know. I'd go with the Bears as the best linebacking core. I don't think it's too much of a leap.
Well, they've got, I guess you couldn't take any, well, you could take a 4-3 defense and put three linebackers up against four if you're just doing just the quality thing.
Yeah, you'd like to measure them because you count your pass rushers. You get an advantage to say when you're not just looking at the three guys across the board in a 4-3.
I mean, there are guys that would, Alex Brown is one of them. He essentially counts Khalil Mack as an end and not a linebacker.
Okay.
I mean, if you wanted to split things up that way, you could.
You got Bobby Wagner and his line mates in Seattle who've been really good. Dallas has had a nice. Leighton Vander Esch has been tremendous, and that you talk about rallying.
Yeah, you might have
they've
to,
been really good.
You might have to look at that Cowboys linebacking core as one of them because of how well he's played.
Des Moines, Iowa. This is John. John's on Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make kind of a, maybe it's too soon of a point, but I think that Pace has done an incredible job, and we ought to look at this point in time as evidence of that, because he's made this team entertaining throughout the whole year. The linebacking core you were just talking about is entirely built by him. And when he first drafted Trubisky, Dan, I remember you made comments about he's really staking his reputation on this pick.
Oh, that's it. He tied himself to it. He tied everything to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think that I'm almost to the point where if Trubisky turns out mediocre, I say roll with Pace. Let him keep making decisions. If he turns out bad, maybe it was just a misfire by Pace or it's on Trubisky. I don't know. But I like this guy building this team, and I want to keep seeing him do it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. I like that he's built a pretty decent amount of depth into the roster. It's not as top heavy as it's been, and it's been really healthy so that the top tier players have been able to be there as long as they have. They're so healthy. Your first real season-ending injury on the defensive side of the ball anyway came to Bryce Callahan, and it came last week. I mean, that's remarkably lucky. I know that franchises might necessarily term it lucky because they invest in training staffs and doctors and stuff to avoid soft tissue injuries and to avoid health issues. But you've been, for lack of a better word, real lucky. Take advantage of it.
That's how you win.
Screamed this.
Man, check out the Chargers last night. check out the Chargers' down running backs.
Both teams were down to their third-string running backs.
But the Chargers still, it's not stopping them from being aggressive and calling the same stuff. And
Keenan Allen came out of the game last night, barely able to move, and they went ahead and won that thing. You have to have the depth to stay in a season, but at some point, teams get compromised where you're not going to come back from that. The Bears haven't had to face that at all.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West champs head to the Holiday Bowl in San Diego on December 31st. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. When we return, it will be that time when Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins join us, and we talk about whatever.
Yesterday was weird.
It should be weird.
It's a weird transition. No, I embrace weird. I like weird. I want weird. We'll see if it gets weird again.
It's Christmas, Theo. It's the time of miracles. That's next on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.